This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Poetry Foundation, with a reminder that Chicago is the pulse of poetry. Visit the Poetry Foundation on the corner of Superior and Dearborn to explore their library of 40,000 books, attend public events, and view Frente a la Vida, Facing Life, a striking multidisciplinary art exhibition by Chicago artist Victoria Martinez. Learn more at poetryfoundation.org. This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work, Policy, and Practice at the University of Chicago. The master's program in social work offers a one-year advanced standing option for students with a bachelor's degree in social work that builds on prior training and connects students with expert faculty and five specialized pathways. Apply by February 1st at crownschool.uchicago.edu/socialwork. Inspire change. Shape the future.
I'm Natalie Moore, in for Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. The trial of ex-Alderman Ed Burke is finally off to the races after a COVID-related delay. So far, the jury's been selected, they've heard opening statements, and have started to hear witness testimony, including secretly recorded phone calls. The trial is expected to last weeks. We spoke with WBEZ City Politics reporter Mariah Wolfel to give us a glimpse of what's going on in the courtroom. She started by telling us what prosecutors are discussing in court today.
So they just finished up their witness testimony, questioning witnesses about the alleged Field Museum scheme. As you know, there are four schemes in this racketeering indictment. They just finished up their allegations that Burke tried to block a fee increase at the Field Museum when the Field Museum didn't get back to his goddaughter about an internship application. And now they are moving on to the scheme involving a Burger King in his ward, where the owners of the Burger King were trying to remodel it and, you know, just kind of refresh it, re-image is what they call it, that Burger King. And Burke is accused of trying to block some permits, particularly a driveway, first a building permit, a renovation permit, and then a driveway permit until they hired his private law firm, Clafter and Burke, which does property tax appeals. And so that's kind of at the heart of all of these schemes. The incentive, the bribe that Burke was allegedly trying to push was, I'm going to block, these things that you want until you hire my private law firm.
And this is the only episode involving Burke's co-defendant, former 14th Ward aide, Peter Andrews Jr. What do we need to know about him?
Right. So Peter Andrews is accused with Burke of trying to strong arm the owners of the Burger King into hiring Burke's law firm while they were trying to remodel. And Andrews spent decades working for Burke's political organization. He served as chairman of Burke's campaign funds. He filed legal challenges for Burke. He's a retired plumber with the Chicago Park District. His defense team describes him as part-time Pete, really trying to paint him as just this humble Chicago guy, from Mount Greenwood, didn't really leave his neighborhood, was born and raised in the 14th Ward and knew it like the back of his hand. Everyone knew him. Everyone said hello, but trying to paint him as very different from high power politicians, like repeatedly calling him part-time Pete. But he, has operated in Chicago politics for decades, very closely with Alderman Burke. And so now they're moving on to the scheme that involves Pete Andrews and Alderman Ed Burke.
The federal indictment accuses Burke of racketeering and bribery. These are terms that we often hear in corruption cases. What specifically are prosecutors arguing here?
Sure. So they are arguing that Burke used his clout and his power as chairman of the Finance Committee for decades and several other powerful positions he held throughout his 54 years as a city council member to pressure developers, businessmen into hiring his private law firm, Clafter and Burke, in exchange for, being able to operate here, really, getting permits for a pole sign, getting a driveway permit, And that is outlined in four schemes, the Field Museum one, which I talked about, the Burger King, permits related to a Binney's pole sign, a pole sign that would display, you know, the sign of a business, Binney's Beverage Depot, on the north side. And then development permits needed for the redevelopment of the old post office.
It's not illegal for Alders to have another business. But what's central to this case is here's a powerful Alder like Burke who has a law firm that, you know, works with appeals and things like this. Can you talk about how prosecutors are centering that, but also how some of this is like how Chicago has operated?
Right. Yeah. I mean, and you know, what the defense is arguing in their both their opening statements and, you know, throughout trying to probe questions from or trying to, you know, ask probing questions from witnesses is that, you know, Burke was just a stickler for the law. He wanted businesses in his ward to get a driveway permit before, you know, operating in his ward. He saw an issue with this parking lot of the Burger King where trucks were stopping overnight, and that was apparently attracting prostitution in the area in this Burger King parking lot. And so he saw an issue with that. He wanted to get them up to, you know, up to snuff with the law and get them their driveway permit. And, you know, he was a stickler for the law. He was a dedicated public servant. And he liked helping people. He saw opportunities to help people. And on the side, yeah, he was letting people know. This is, you know, what the defense is arguing. Yeah, he may have let people know I have a law firm that I think is pretty good, that, you know, we would love to take you on as a client. But that there's nothing illegal about promoting your private business on one hand, and also, you know, trying to get businesses and developers to follow the law in and around the city. Of course, prosecutors, they said in their opening statements, you're not going to see cash stuffed in an envelope in this bribery case. These are sophisticated schemes that they call Burke, you know, a sophisticated guy who operated sophisticated schemes to strong arm people into hiring his tax firm. But, you know, defense attorneys continue to point out he never said, I will not, you know, give you this driveway permit unless you hire my law firm. So there is gray area, and a jury of nine women and three men will ultimately be tasked with having to weed through that.
Briefly talk us through the timeline of how this case began.
Sure. So in 2016, the federal investigators approached former Alderman Danny Solis of the 25th Ward with accusations of his own wrongdoing. He led the city's zoning committee for many years, and in a bid to avoid his own jail time, Solis agreed to cooperate with the feds by wearing a wire, and he wore a wire, you know, to help build cases against several high-ranking politicians, including Burke and including former House Speaker Michael Madigan, who's now indicted. And so we're going to be hearing Solis tape throughout this trial. We're not sure whether Solis will testify or not, but the tape that he helped record is a star, you know, essentially a star witness in this case, regardless of whether Solis takes the stand or not.
And this case took a little bit longer to start because of jury selection. What happened?
So, yeah, I mean, with this case, you can imagine, like, the questions that they had to ask the jury. I mean, some of them were like, you know, dating back 10 years ago when you had to get a permit to renovate your house, what do you remember about, you know, your interactions with the government? Do you have any bad feelings about that permitting process? Because there's just so many things that touch on the type of work that an alderman does, that, you know, government bodies do for people. And this judge in this case really wanted to get, I mean, every judge does, an impartial jury that didn't have negative feelings about permitting processes, about Chicago aldermen. I mean, the majority of the jury that was selected is from outside of the city of Chicago. Many report not knowing Burke at all, not hearing about the case. There are two people who have reported to live in the city of Chicago. But other than that, you know, this will be people outside of the scope of city government who will be deciding this case. So jury selection did get off to a slow start, and then we had a delay because an attorney in the case got COVID-19. So we were delayed by a week there. And now we are finally, you know, I'm sure the jury is happy to finally start hearing witness testimony and tape and getting into the nitty-gritty details of the schemes.
Mariah, I chuckled a little bit when the judge gave the jurors a little lesson in Chicago politics. What did they learn, and how often does that happen?
Yeah, so they heard the testimony of political science professor Connie Mixon, who's a professor at Elmhurst University, and she gave like a 20
and a reset
point
guest often
and yeah. a reset guest, yeah, yeah, a friend of the media, and she gave them a 20-page PowerPoint presentation with slides like aldermen are mini mayors and how does an ordinance become a law and those sorts of things. It was very fact-based. You know, Connie Mixon was kind of prohibited in the judge's ruling allowing her to testify from expressing her opinion about Burke's power, though she did talk about the more than $2 million budget that the Finance Committee had at one point under Burke, the many dozens of staff members that Burke had, and just the power that the Finance Committee wielded in general over the agenda and the legislation that needed to go through the Finance Committee before getting a full vote from the City Council. And so she kind of painted the picture of what a committee chair does, why they are powerful, and what that means for their control over legislation that developers, that businessmen, that you know, even other aldermen are interested in getting passed.
You mentioned that a number of the jurors had never heard of Ed Burke, which sounds, you know, odd for us in the media. You know, he's been such a fixture on the political scene, 50 years, reputation, you know, natty dresser, knows a lot of history. He was the dean of city council. Can you talk more about who Ed Burke is as a person and the community that he represented?
Yeah, so people admired and feared Ed Burke. They admired him because he is charismatic. He, like you said, he's a storyteller. He knows a lot about Chicago history. He plays the piano expertly. You know, he's the entertainer. He always has a story. He always has, you know, and his speeches in city council, you know, were testified to that. We're an example of that, where he would just bring you back to a story from like 100 years ago of, you know, that somehow tied to the current day. But they also feared him because he could be very, very sharp and I would just say bold and maybe unforgiving with people who crossed him. Prosecutors played a phone call yesterday of him in a conversation with a Field Museum employee who was calling him to say, hey, we're looking to get this fee hike. We want to, you know, get you on board with this to avoid any public opposition. And Burke starts questioning her credentials, questioning if she's read up on how passionate he is about this topic and if she reads her news clips on a daily basis. And he said, you know, I don't know where you were before the Field Museum, but, you know, and then asks her to kind of defend her credentials, and then tells her that, you know, asks and now, so now you're calling me for a favor after, you know, not getting back to my goddaughter about an internship she applied for. And the Field Museum employee starts to talk and say, well, what I wanted to do, and Burke interrupts and says, well, I'm not sure what you wanted to do, because if the chairman on the Committee of Finance calls the park board president, then your proposal, you know, for a fee hike is going to go nowhere. And it was cutting. And, you know, then he, in his own words, in a different phone call, says that he read the riot act to this Field Museum employee for not getting back to his goddaughter. And so I think that like really kind of speaks to the two sides of Burke, And yeah, he let go of his seat representing the 14th ward, which is has typically been, you know, kind of a neighborhood home to white ethnic immigrants, and has been increasingly Latino, as has grown increasingly Latino over the years. And I think Burke saw, one, the writing on the wall with his corruption trial impending and the challenges that would present for his reelection, but also the remap and how that kind of the you know, remap based on the once in a decade census, where his colleagues kind of cut out some majority white neighborhoods that have been strongholds in his ward and have reelected him. And the ward is now, you know, vastly Latino. And so, stepped down from a long legacy. And kind of this is the first time we've seen him in public since then.
Well, we've got some weeks to go in this trial. We've been talking to Mariah Wolfel, city politics reporter for WBEZ. Thanks for coming out of court to talk to us.
Thanks for having me.
That's it for this episode. It was produced by Brenda Ruiz and edited by Meha Ahmad and Ethan Schwab. Have you signed up for the Reset newsletter? If not, what's stopping you? It's written just for you and delivered each morning right to your inbox. Head over to wbez.org/reset to sign up. I'm Natalie Moore, in for Sasha Ann Simons. We'll speak again soon.